going back 38 years to 1982 for the Jay Giles Band, starting a six-week run at number one on this day with Centerfold, the band's only chart topper here in the U.S. On the very same day, their album, Freeze Frame, starting a four-week run at number one as well. It was a good time to be Peter Wolf and, well, everyone else in the Jay Giles Band. Centerfold hit the top of the charts on this day 38 years ago today. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Find me on Twitter at Scott Bertram. SteveGruber.com for exclusive content, giveaways, and much more. And on Twitter at Steve Gruber Show. Saw Steve tweeting earlier today from the National Prayer Breakfast where he sits. Be back tomorrow to host the program. Joining us right now on the phone lines is Dr. Lauren A. Wright. You can find her on Twitter at Dr. Lauren A. Wright. She's an associate research scholar and lecturer at Princeton. Also, with the brand new book, recent book, Star Power, American Democracy in the Age of the Celebrity Candidate, which you can find at Amazon.com and elsewhere. Dr. Wright, thanks for joining us again here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Hi, Scott. It's been a while. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And yourself?
Good.
You're doing better, I bet, than most Iowa Democrats, at least those people in
well,
in charge.
Well, I think everyone is.
Yes, we have numbers this morning, as accurate as they may be, with 97% of precincts in. But I guess the big question, are we going to know who won Iowa before we actually vote in New Hampshire?
I don't know, because it's one-tenth of a percentage point apart right now, which is not very much. And I'm sure Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders really want to know who the winner is. And the problem is, it's cast a lot of doubt on the whole process. And so no matter who wins Iowa, Trump really won, because now he's going to talk about how disorganized Democrats are. He's set to give a speech soon, and he's expected to respond to his acquittal in the Senate last night. But I'm sure he will find a way to insert some comments about the Democrats in there, and that's really politically advantageous for him.
Usually, Lauren, Iowa does a couple of things. One is it winnows the field, and
yes,
people realize that they can't compete anymore. And two, I would say that there's three tickets out of Iowa. Three people have an actual chance to win based on the Iowa results. And we don't know. We don't know the results, so neither of those things are happening. How is that going to affect and perhaps change the way the rest of this plays out?
You know, it's tough, and I tell people don't put too much stock in it, because really the Iowa effect is an accumulation of a lot of things associated with winning Iowa. So you get more donors,
right,
you get
right,
more media coverage, you get energy and a big boost to your volunteers. And so it's not necessarily actually taking the vote. It's all of those other things that people are assuming Iowa does that actually make it important. And, you know, I think, you know, for Pete Buttigieg to come out on top or even in second would be surprising and a big boon to his campaign. But he heavily invested in Iowa, more so than he did in New Hampshire. I think the real person who's probably very upset right now is Joe Biden, because he did spend time in Iowa. He was the front runner. And fourth place, which is where he is now, is really not a good spot for a former vice president to be in, and he might not come back until South Carolina. But I do hope that there starts to be more scrutiny on Bernie Sanders at this point, because he has not received as much scrutiny on his legislative record and how he's going to get things done as other Democrats who have, frankly, much stronger records in the Senate than he does. And now that he's the front runner, or the presumptive one that people think will win New Hampshire, that needs to start to happen. Maybe in one of the next debates it will happen, I'm not sure. But he's got to start answering the tough questions about policy.
Dr. Lauren A. Wright with us here on the Steve Gruber Show. Find her at laurenawright.com, at Dr. Lauren A. Wright on Twitter. I did want to talk about people who were not competing in Iowa, namely the billionaires, Tom Steyer and Michael Bloomberg. They're still spending money. They're still spending lots of money. And for them, I would think this is the best result possible. Their strategy relies on making these early contests less important.
Yes.
And the number of candidates, if the number of candidates remains large, they have the opportunity to sort of cleave out their 15-20% and perhaps finish first or second in some of the upcoming bigger states.
for them, but I think bad for democracy because, again, you know, and I'm sure Trump will say this, you know, people have been associating him with someone who calls out a rigged process and that he's been attacking the democratic nature of elections. But now people are really doubting this process. They're wondering if it's fair. They're wondering if it works and if they're even getting accurate counts. And that's a really, really serious problem. But it's a surprising result, but one that's good if for anyone, probably for Michael Bloomberg. I have been doubtful about his strategy to start four states in. no one has done that successfully before, but no one has ever had hundreds of millions of dollars to spend. And if he does that wisely, you know, on the eve of these primary events and takes advantage of his position on the debate stage, he might be able to mix things up because of these very progressive candidates. And I'm really thinking about Bernie Sanders or if Warren happens to surge in New Hampshire, are going to have a tough time beating Donald Trump. They are much easier targets for him than someone like Michael Bloomberg or Joe Biden.
Let's talk a little about State of the Union in the time we have left. I was not going to watch. I was taking care of the kids. And,
you
but
weren't.
I put it on. I watched. I'm glad I did.
I get it.
I think it was perhaps his best, President Trump's best speech. I were him, if I were his advisors, I'd say give that speech at every rally until November. I thought it was very strong.
You know what? I thought it was a strange speech, I have to say. He started out without a lot of the highly partisan talking points, and there were just statistics about the economy, and I thought, okay, this is repetitive, but he is getting the point across, and that's really what you want to do. And he was getting the point across until about halfway through in a relatively nonpartisan way for Donald Trump, at least as far as he's concerned. But then I thought when he did start attacking illegal immigrants and talking about Democrats' failed policies, that's really not supposed to be the purpose of a State of the Union speech, and I don't think he needed to do that to get so much attention and to energize his base because they're already with him. And if anything, you know, amidst this Iowa mess, he just needs to seem like a normal incumbent president and try to normalize his image and show everyone that he has a policy track record and a strong economy, but he does not need to, at this point, attack his opponents. Democrats are already having a hard enough time, and so I was disappointed that he sort of shed the cloak of an incumbent president that every candidate would love to have, and what I thought he did was get in the mud. But there were very strong points, and Democrats were forced to stand and clap a few times for things that are widely appealing, like opportunity zones. It's very hard to disagree with that. His criminal justice record, they were all standing and clapping. So that was a win for him because, you know, he's an impeached president and Democrats still support some of the policies and probably wish that they thought of them. And that is good.
Dr. Lauren Wright, find her on Twitter and Lauren A. Wright.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This message sponsored by OK to Say and MAB.
Hey, parents. It's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Mom, not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented preteen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.